It is Free Talk Live. Dial toll free. Join us here. Our number 855-450-FREE, like freedom. That's 855-450-3733. We do have Skype and Skype username. Here is LRN.FM with you in the studio tonight. It's Ian.
And Mark.
So, Mark, coming up, you're going to tell us about a construction contractor? Some sort of guy who handles drywall, for instance, who got busted for a bag of cocaine that turned out to be dust from a construction site from installing drywall?
That's right.
You've got that story. That's on the way. Your calls and thoughts are certainly welcome as well. We're going to update you on the latest in the Bitcoin world, where the IRS has gotten only 802 people to tell them about Bitcoin, according to Coinbase. We'll tell you more about that coming up here as well. But first, the big news that I sort of teased from yesterday, but I wasn't really ready to talk about it in full because the full story was not yet up over at freekeen.com. And that is about the Libertarian Party here in New Hampshire, once again proving that it is the most politically successful of all of the 49 or the 50 states Libertarian parties out there, with now three sitting state representatives here in the states of New Hampshire, the legislature here, where there's 400 state reps. There's quite a few, but three of them are Libertarian Party members, and that is three more than the other 49 states have combined. Now, to be fair, there is a state senator in, I think it's Nebraska, but they don't have state representatives there. So the only state with any state representatives is New Hampshire, and we got more than any of the rest of them, even if you count the Nebraskan senator. So the big news is came out yesterday morning as Darrell W. Perry and the other folks who are behind the Libertarian Party of New Hampshire, this resurgence that it has had in the last 20 years. It has been basically dead in the water for two decades, and as soon as Darrell and his crew took it over, man, they've really breathed some life into this organization. They've brought on a whole bunch of new members, as well as acquired ballot access across the state at the same level as the Democrats and Republicans have for the first time in 20 years. So they had it back in the 90s.
Yep.
Then the Dems and Republicans passed a law that made it more difficult for third parties to qualify for ballot access. So they raised the requirements. There was a certain number, a certain threshold of votes that they had to cross. Well, they made that vote threshold higher, just to the point where the Libertarians couldn't acquire that at that point in time. So they lost their ballot access toward the end of the 1990s, and now they have it back 20 years later. Caleb Dyer was the first state representative. He's all of 21 years old, by the way, Caleb. First one to make the flip. He was a Republican, brand new. All of the three who have flipped are brand new state representatives. They all got elected in 2016 for the first time. So Caleb made the flip back in February. Then a Democrat, Joseph Stahlkopf, made the flip in, I think it was early May, late April, after having joined us for the 420 celebration up in Concord, where we did a mass smokeout on the statehouse steps. So that was pretty historic, right? We had one Republican and then a Democrat make the flip to the Libertarian Party. Kind of an important symbolism there to show that Libertarians come from all political stripes, from all, vantage points and political viewpoints. And now a second Republican, Representative Brandon Finney, is on board. He made the flip a couple weeks ago quietly. He joined the Libertarian Party and changed his party registration status with the state to Libertarian, which is now something you can do in New Hampshire because of that ballot access status. And then yesterday, the official announcement was made at the press conference. It was held outside of the Concord State House, right by the front steps. So a well-attended press conference. As far as like Libertarians attending, there wasn't any press besides me that was attending.
I would think that'd be a big story. I mean,
you would think, huh? But the press doesn't really want to report on Libertarians, right? Because it might make the Republicans and Democrats angry, perhaps, or maybe they just haven't earned it yet. Maybe the press doesn't feel like, I mean, I'd be interested to know what an editor of a newspaper or the assignment editor for a news station, a television station, what are they thinking when they're looking at the different options? Because obviously time's limited. The amount of reporters they have are limited. So when they're looking at the different options of what they can cover on any given day, why would they decide that, okay, well, now Libertarian parties, they're up to three. I mean, I thought it was newsworthy when it was number one and two. Now we got three. state reps that have flipped to libertarian. What makes it? What makes them say no? That's not worth covering.
I don't know. Yeah. In some states, it's easier to get a third party or a minor party candidate into some position or another. And it's not as big a news because it happens relatively regularly. But in New Hampshire, it's hard as a mamma jamma. And I mean, that how often does it happen here?
That so people would, flip?
Well, that there's somebody of a minor party status.
Very rare.
Right. It's very, very rare.
And the last time would have been the Libertarians in the 1990s, as far as I know.
What qualifies as news is the thing that is rare, the thing that
Correct.
Is unusual, the thing that is titillating. And I'm sure that you could get more than one, Politico-type newspaper reader out there to say, oh, my God, I can't believe these people flipping up for libertarian. They're wasting everybody's time. Right? Like, you know, getting somebody to react is what news is about.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, if you want to speculate, maybe you've worked in a newsroom and you can tell us about this. I mean, some people would believe it's a conspiracy theory in the mainstream media to keep the libertarians out. But, you know, maybe it's just that they had other more pressing stories. Regardless, I did send out a press release about this. So I know the Libertarian Party sent a release before the event announcing the press conference. And I have sent a release as of this morning announcing the news about what happened. So maybe they'll pick it up on the back end. That's a possibility. Anyway, I'm excited about it. I think it's great. I've been with doing activism of a libertarian nature since I found the Libertarian Party nationally back in like around the year 1999 or 2000. And I've never seen success like this. I didn't know about the Libertarian Party's successes back in the 1990s when I was a young man that was getting involved in the Libertarian Party activism. But it's not a surprise that New Hampshire, the so-called live free or die state, is the one state where the libertarians have had cumulatively the most political success over the four plus almost five decades now of the existence of the National Libertarian Party. And what we're hoping to see, I think, is the continued success, because if we lose ballot access in 2018, then it'll be all for naught. But hopefully we're going to keep pushing forward, get a great political candidate for governor here in New Hampshire in 2018, and keep that ballot access status, and hopefully
it's going to be a lot harder in that 2018 time frame, right?
Well, you could certainly argue that the Libertarian Party got the ballot access status sort of on the backs of the failures of the Republican and Democratic parties nationally.
2016
to provide candidates that people were interested in, because we know there was a huge pushback. At least verbally, by people against Hillary Clinton and Donald Trump. They didn't want to vote for those folks. So people were looking seriously at the other options, like the Libertarian and the Green parties, and both the Libertarian Party and Green Party candidates on the presidential stage got, I think it was, three times the votes that they received? Because it was the same candidates. It was Jill Stein for the Greens and Gary Johnson, so same ones as of 2012. I believe they got about three times the vote percentage or numbers. Maybe it was percentage. I'm not sure about raw numbers. But they definitely got a lot more votes this time around. And it didn't have anything to do with their message, honestly. Let's be clear, right? Like, people, they didn't know what Gary Johnson stood for. They just knew that he wasn't Hillary Clinton and Donald Trump. So he got some votes for that.
Sure.
And so did Jill Stein. And I think the same thing happened on a state level as well, where that sort of disappointment in the Republicans and Democrats, the willingness to look at third parties, I think that resulted in the push that the local libertarians here in New Hampshire needed to get past that 4% threshold that they needed to hit. And they did. So, kudos to them for that. And now we've got these politicians that are making the flip. Representative Brandon Finney did say in his speech at this press conference, he said, quote, "What I found was that both parties were seeking to manipulate the potential legislation and the legislative process for political gain. I was not elected to do the bidding of a political party at the expense of my principles." And we'll continue here in moments, because some people are saying this is the wrong move, that this actually, believe it or not, they say that this sets back the liberty movement. The toll-free number is 855-450-FREE, like freedom. What do you think? You can also bring up anything on Free Talk Live.
Yeah!
It is Free Talk Live. You dial toll-free if you want to join us here. You can. Bring up anything you want. That is the point here of Free Talk Live. And with you in the studio tonight, it's Ian.
And Mark.
Our number is 855-450-FREE, like freedom, 855-450-3733. And you can Skype on in here. It's Skype username LRN.FM. Healthcare is pretty messed up in the United States, but you don't have to have health insurance, which is, of course, what the government wants you to do. They want to funnel money into their buddies in the insurance industry, and there are other options, thank goodness. HealthExcellenceSelect.com is one of those options. It is a healthcare sharing organization, and they will give you a proactive health assessment daily if you'd like. No charge, 24-hour access to doctors, including traditional integrative chiropractic, acupuncture, and massage. They'll also provide you with a medical information card that, if you'd like, you can give to EMS, first responders, the emergency room, or whatever medical professional you want. So head on over to HealthExcellenceSelect.com. You'll love the service and the price. That's HealthExcellenceSelect.com. We're going to continue here. Your calls and thoughts are welcome. The big news in New Hampshire from the Libertarian Party, which the news just keeps on coming. It's been 6 months now since, actually a little less than 6 months, since the first state representative here in 20 years flipped to the Libertarian Party. We now have three of them who have made that flip, and I hear a rumor that there's another state representative who has joined the Libertarian Party of New Hampshire, but he or she does not wish yet to reveal themselves. So we may be on our way to number four if all goes
amazing.
If all goes well. So, you know, don't want to jinx anything. Let's go to the phones here. We'll tell you more about what the new state representative, Brandon Finney, had to say at his press conference, this historic, continued set of historic moments for the New Hampshire Libertarian Party. And let's go first, though, to Stefan in Ohio. You're on Free Talk Live on Skype.
I'd actually like to discuss these representatives swapping over.
Sure.
And I had thought of something, and I had been speaking with my buddy Reese about it, and we were wondering, what do you suppose the odds of them getting reelected are now that they've swapped parties?
This
do you
is
think
the
that
big
could
critique.
Their
right?
chances?
So this is the big critique from the, you know, the people who are saying, this sets us back. This sets back the Liberty Movement. Is that it's going to be hard. There's no doubt about it. It's going to be a challenge for them since they were elected as a Republican or Democrat, then switched to the Libertarian Party midterm, you know, in the beginning part of their 2 years here in New Hampshire, that it will be a challenge that, you know, they may be up against a Republican and a Democrat in the next election, and that may affect how things turn out. However, I will say this, that the Libertarian Party here has been rejuvenated. The people that are involved in it, these are not the, you know, old burnt out folks from the 1990s. These are people who are, you know, fresh, they're involved, they're very interested in seeing the Libertarian Party take some sort of, you know, more permanent level of a hold in the state house and in the state government here. So the answer is, yeah, it's going to be a challenge. But Caleb Dyer, who is the guy who made the flip originally, he was in a what's I think it's called a multi-member district, meaning that the district votes for more than one person on the ballot. And in the last election, he was the last vote getter, so he barely made it in as a Republican. But all he really has to do is get a few percentage points of votes in order to get in this particular district that he's in. So it's eminently doable for anybody in a third party in at least that particular race. And he seems like he's ready to go, man. He's planning to do this, and he's moving forward. Joe Stahlkopf may be moving out of the Keene area, so it's not clear as to – it sounds as though he may not be running for re-election, and the new guy Brandon Finney does say he plans to run for re-election.
So let me give my thought on this. First off, I would be surprised if one is able to retain their seat, or any seat for that matter, return to the state house. I guess is better terminology.
Yep.
Secondly, I think that this is – like everybody needs to take a deep breath. You know, being a state rep in New Hampshire is a thankless job. It pays $200 every 2 years.
Plus a gas stipend.
Plus a stinking gas stipend and, you know, your own license plate, and which is good for basically nothing.
No, it's good to actually prevent you from getting tickets. If you are speeding like a maniac on the way to or from the state house – I believe that exempts you from any kind of traffic citation.
It exempts you from pulling over. They can still cite you.
No, I don't think you're correct about that.
Okay, I disagree.
Okay.
But it certainly can be looked up, and it doesn't matter right now.
All right.
Nonetheless, so you're, you know, these folks come and go to some extent, especially young people. So if one of these people decided they're not going to run again, this is a way to go in style that benefits the ideas of liberty as opposed to just not running again.
I see what you're saying.
And from that standpoint, as long as these people are, you know, they're not deluding themselves, then I don't have a particular problem with it. I would like...
You don't think it's setting back the liberty movement?
As the liberty general, right? If I get to sit up here and play Stratego with everybody else's life, you know,
you don't.
I get to move the little chits around on the risk board. Well, sure. I want every person, every liberty rep to be the most electable liberty rep that I possibly can, and I want the everybody who's rated as a constitutional threat by the New Hampshire Liberty Alliance to have a terrible, tragic accident, right? Like,
well,
that's the kind of thing that I'm looking for as the liberty general, but I'm not, and no one is.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Well, that was my first concern, was that maybe in partisan districts, you know, people would – They may have only got elected in the first place because they had an R and a D next to their name.
There's
you
a good chance
know.
Of that. I mean, that's certainly what happened in Keene with Joseph Stalkop. You can't get elected as a Republican here.
The other concern is, let's say this movement becomes extremely popular with the people of New Hampshire, and everybody hops on. Let's assume it hops on
the libertarian dream, right? Like the people come on board and start to care about.
Yeah, let's assume people that didn't care before start voting libertarians in a partisan way. Well, what happens when all the establishment politicians hop on board and say, hey, I'm going to be a libertarian
that's
now
a
so
problem.
I can get reelected?
Yep, that's – well, I mean that's one of the challenges of running a public party. And it's the challenge of doing public activism is that you don't really get to control who shows up. Now, what you could do in certain cases – So, for instance, Libertarian Party now has the ability to have primaries. So if two people claiming to be Libertarian want to run for the Libertarian seat in the general election, there will be – well, actually, there's going to be a Libertarian primary anyway. So long as there's like one candidate, they'll still have a primary ballot in case someone wants to do a write-in campaign. But
which
let's just,
helps the New Hampshire taxpayer pay for all those ballots.
Well, whatever. That's the system. You got to have elections, Mark. So anyway – the primaries are going to happen, and you may have a more principled libertarian candidate versus a less principled libertarian candidate. You may have two very principled libertarian candidates duking it out in the libertarian primary. Those are definitely possibilities.
Ah, for the day when we have two people in the libertarian primary duking it out.
It almost happened in one of the special elections that's happening this year, Mark, because there's like one senator who actually just passed away after he got elected.
I'm always confused with Mark as to, you know, what he really actually thinks of libertarianism, because I'm just curious. Are you an actual libertarian?
You mean a Libertarian Party member?
Yes.
I signed up for the free party membership that the Libertarian Party was giving away here to for Free Talk Live.
But
listeners.
You're not a member of the Libertarian Party of New Hampshire.
I am not. I don't think so. No.
More coming up here, Stefan. If you've got more, you can stand by and we'll talk more about the re-election chances for these Libertarian Party candidates in 2018. We're coming up. Free Talk Live.
Tired of spending hours hunting down the day's essential political news and views? Let Tom and Steve at Rational Review News Digest do it for you. Visit rationalreview.com for free hand-curated news, commentary, and audio and video content. Choose from web, social media, and once-daily email editions. We've been the Freedom Movement's daily newspaper since 1991. Come find out why at rationalreview.com.
Free Talk Live. You can dial in toll-free. Bring up anything you want. Right here at 855-450-FREE like freedom. 855-450-3733. We've got Skype as well. You can Skype in here at username lrn.fm. It's Ian and Mark in the studio. I did manage to drag Daryl in here. Daryl W. Perry from the other room where he was, I'm sure, working on some sort of thing for the Libertarian Party because he has been Elected in the late part of last year as the new chairman of the New Hampshire Libertarian Party. And since then, since Roger Paxton came on as vice chair, and you guys are from the South originally.
Yes.
The Southern Dream Team for Liberty took over the dead in the water Libertarian Party here and really has breathed new life in. Want to also let you know, we're going to continue with that in a moment, want to also let you know about freedomsphoenix.com. It was cool seeing Ernie Hancock last week. He came out actually for Shire Fest and Somalia Fest before the Porcupine Freedom
yes.
Festival. Set up an awesome, like, globe kind of, what was it? What do you call those things?
Dome?
Geodesic domes. He had one of those things where Will Coley from Muslims for Liberty played an awesome 5-hour long electronic music dance party rave set thing, and it was fantastic.
He was doing one of those sorts of things every night
during Pork Fest.
Yes.
Okay. It wasn't as good as the one at Somalia Fest, because the one at Somalia Fest and Shire Fest had the humongous Bose speaker system from Stephen and Derek, and then they had to go because they left after Somalia Fest
yep.
was over, and then I had to loan my speaker, which is a fraction of the power. And
because, like, you also had to go.
Right. Anyway, freedomsphoenix.com. Go check out
Ernest
Hancock.
Were you talking about getting one of those, the speakers?
Getting one of what?
The new speakers.
The Bose.
The big.
Hell no, dude. That thing's probably really expensive, and it's not particularly portable.
Okay.
But
what was the one you wanted to get?
The one that he loaned Will Coley.
Yeah.
Yes.
That's called the Echo Gear. It's like a little PA system
okay.
with a battery in it that's waterproof. It's amazing. And it performed very well. It was actually performing in the rain at the Somalia Fest.
As were lots of dancers.
Shire Fest. So freedomsphoenix.com. Go and check out Ernie Hancock's great site there. It's loaded up with all kinds of the freshest and newest stories and perspectives on current events from those who value liberty. It also has a daily dispatch that you can sign up for and receive in your email box. The latest info on science, technology, historical findings, liberty news, government overspending, and the rise of the police state. Freedoms with an S, phoenix.com. That's freedomsphoenix.com. And I did get some cool pictures of Ernie and Will. Will Coley and Ernest Hancock doing Will's show together. And so I still have a bunch of pictures from Shire Fest that I've yet to actually put online, and I'll get there. There's just all these other blog things that I need to do here, including I posted the blog late last night toward the very end of the show about Brandon Finney, who was the newest and the third sitting state representative
yes.
here in New Hampshire to make the flip to the Libertarian Party. Stefan is on the line in Ohio, and I wanted to bring you in, Daryl, specifically to comment on the big objection. Stefan had asked this question, not as an objection, just more of a curiosity. But there are people on Facebook, of course, who are strenuously objecting to the fact that, you know, these state representatives have
the
courage.
There are people on Facebook that will object to anything.
Sure.
The sky is blue. No, it's not.
Right.
It's blah, 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 blah.
And
the earth is flat. The earth is round. The yeah. earth is a donut.
And then they'll argue about it for 48 hours. Until it finally drops off the radar.
Right.
But, the big objection online is, this is setting the movement back. You're hurting the libertarian movement by having these people flip to libertarian. And they're saying further that they have almost no chance of winning re-election. And certainly, re-election's going to be a challenge. It's going to take a lot of effort, no doubt about it.
Right.
But how difficult is it going to be? Is it impossible, Daryl?
It's not impossible.
Well, nothing's impossible.
Are these people unrealistic, or are they being very realistic? What's your assessment of the critics?
I'm going to say that, you know, for some state representatives, it might be, you know, a thing of, yep, you just signed your, you know, ticket to being a one-term rep. For
okay.
other representatives, I'm going to say that that's not necessarily true. And I have to question if the people that are throwing up this objection of, you're joining the Libertarian Party, that means you're not going to get reelected. Are they also saying the same thing to the Democrats that left the Democratic Party to become Republicans? You just wound up killing your career.
That happens too, right?
Like there have been, I believe, three handful. Democrats
yeah.
that have joined the Republican Party in New Hampshire this year, but I've not heard anybody say, they're signing their unemployment check.
Good question.
Well, I think that what they're saying there in that circumstance is they're moving from, they are signing an unemployment check for the Democratic Party. So
that's not a guarantee.
Not a guarantee, but it's likely. And the thing is what they're saying is that it's unlikely to be elected as a libertarian. I tend to agree. agree with that. That doesn't mean necessarily that they can't get elected in certain elections. But I can say that in my town, the way that the Republicans drew up the boundaries, the gerrymandered things together.
Districts are what those things are called.
I might as well register as a xiphoid beetle box for whatever party. It doesn't make a difference because only a Democrat is going to win where I live.
Right, and in Minnesota in 1998, everybody told Jesse Ventura that he was, just foolish to run for governor, but yet he wound up getting elected as
after getting
a Reform
in the debates,
Party candidate.
Right? That's when it turned around for him, was when he got into the debates.
Because
when
he was polling 9-10% was included in debates.
But there are no debates for House reps.
Yes, there are, actually. Daryl threw some here in Keene.
Yes.
And there's actually, apparently, there's a special election Senate debate being held tonight.
Excellent. And this is the one that there is a Libertarian running for?
Yes.
So this is the guy, the senator who I mentioned, who passed away just after getting elected for the first time.
Sorry to hear that.
And there's actually a couple of state rep seats that have opened up as well this year so far. And the Libertarian
Party— One of those is very winnable. John Babiars.
In Grafton.
A four-time Libertarian Party gubernatorial candidate.
More importantly,
who
he's the fire chief.
Very well-known in Grafton.
As the fire chief.
As
and
the
has
fire
been for
chief.
Years. Has he been fire chief for most of the decade?
I think he's got a very good shot of winning that election. And one thing to keep in mind, New Hampshire has a lot of multi-member districts.
Do you think that would shut him up if John Babiars wins election? Straight up wins an election.
Is
he's
that
not
for
getting
senator?
No, that's for a state rep.
State rep.
Okay. In Grafton, which is, kind of in the middle of nowhere. But if he wins, you think that'll shut them up? Or they'll still be like, you're all going to lose in 2018.
The people that are saying libertarians being libertarians in the Libertarian Party are somehow setting back liberty because they're not Republicans are always going to throw up their objection. Nothing is going to change their mind.
Well,
nothing.
So my thought on this, and I'm not all bound up or anything, I do think that one likely has a better chance of winning. If you look at your district, you pick the most likely.
Oh, one has a better chance of winning if they're a horrible statist that says, I'm going to raise your taxes and do all the things for you.
Now, that's not the same thing. That's you're building a straw man. If you run as whatever party has the most likely chance of winning in there, then you probably have a better chance of getting elected.
Yep. And if you hide all of your liberty positions, you also have a better chance of winning.
Right. Indeed. Then you have to compromise your principles, which, as Brandon had said.
You don't.
Well, if you want to get along with the party leadership, then you got to. And that's what all of these state representatives in the Democrat and the Republicans who've made the flip have said. They felt like the party leadership was trying to control their opinions.
Well, the party leadership of both parties is going to try to control. That's why they
and it's not okay.
That's why they have a position called the whip. The whip intends
Stefan, I think, wants to jump in here. Go ahead, Stefan.
To control everybody's opinion. Go ahead, Stefan.
Well, what I was going to say is I have one worry about this. If the Libertarian Party were to become a bigger thing and eventually were to become one of the what would eventually become three major parties, would it become corrupt like the others?
Oh, of course.
Because would we
probably
have to
before
keep...
that's
that,
why
yeah.
you that's why you've seen the National Libertarian Party, even though it's not particularly big, has attracted these conservative types,
failed Republicans.
Who, there are the people that they want to be a big fish in a small pond. And some people want to keep it a small pond. Some people want to stay a big fish.
How do you
Other
protect
people
against
want
that?
To wind up, actually promoting principles.
Thank you, Stefan, for the call tonight. How do you protect against that, Daryl? I don't know if you want to stay for one more.
It's up to you. Stay until the top of the hour.
How do you protect against this influx that we've seen ruining the National Libertarian Party? Is there any kind of mechanism that can be put in place to protect the principles here in New Hampshire of the Libertarian Party? It's Free Talk Live. This is Free Talk Live. You can dial toll-free here at 855-450-FREE like freedom. That's 855-450-3733. And we've got Skype as well at Skype username lrn.fm. It's Ian and Mark in the studio. Daryl B. Perry joining us, the chairman of the New Hampshire Libertarian Party and co-host here on Free Talk Live as well, but in for a kind of a guest stint as the chairman of the New Hampshire Libertarian Party at, I guess it's Libertarian Party of New Hampshire.
Correct.
LPNH.org is where you can go to check out y'all's official press release about what happened this week. It happened yesterday morning when State Representative elected as a Republican, Brandon Finney, who's, I think he told me, 29 years old, so still a pretty young gentleman, made the flip to the Libertarian Party. And, of course, only in the Libertarian movement would people, you know, dare to say that this is somehow damaging to the Libertarian movement. That a politician,
I'm just glad that Ian wasn't out there ruining the movement.
That I did ruin the movement. I was there taking video of the entire event, which means it was automatically ruined.
I see.
You know, by some people's metrics. But anyway, big news. I mean, this is great news. Obviously, yes. People who can see without these crazy, you know, crazy party glasses on for these other political parties, you know, they can see, libertarians should be able to see, hey, look, something pretty special is happening here. New Hampshire has got state representatives who are libertarians. It's only 3 out of 400, but that's 3 more than every other state in the entire country has combined.
Right.
And so it's a tremendous level of
success. And Nebraska does have the one senator.
Technically not a state representative, but even so, even if you count
right,
her,
but they've
it's still
got a,
more.
They've
it's
got a more. Unicameral legislature.
Still,
so
we got more. We got more.
Is
sorry.
That better?
Senator, whatever.
Is that better? Because it seems better to me.
Senator?
Yeah, I don't understand. Well, no. What?
Unicameral.
Unicameral.
Unicamerality.
I consider it to be better because what is the point in a bicameral legislature for a state? Senators represent, quote unquote, the states, right? Mm-hmm. So they represent the entire body plus the sort of governments of their states, although they're elected popularly. That's what their job is. Whereas representatives are supposed to represent the people, and they have these sort of amorphous gerrymandered districts and all that
right.
other
and
stuff.
At one time in a lot of states, the senators represented the counties.
Well, that makes a heck of a lot more sense to me.
Okay, but so I tend to think that it may be better to have the unicameral because there's been a lot of stuff that the Senate has shut down here, like let's say decriminalization.
Right.
But then again, there's probably some stuff the Senate has protected as far as bad
True.
Things the House has done.
Now,
so.
I think if there were a unicameral legislature, but adopting new legislation required a 2/3 majority
instead of just majority.
Repealing something required only a simple majority.
I think that new legislation should require 2/3 majority and a duel. like you need to have a duel. Really, if it's important enough to throw people in jail over, important enough to spend public money on, somebody should shed blood.
I want to get back to the question I asked you, Daryl, before we went away there for a moment, and that was Stefan had, I think, a legitimate concern.
Right.
And that is that when a political party becomes big enough, it becomes a target for takeover. It becomes a ripe opportunity for political opportunists to come in and mess with that political party system. We've
people
seen
with
it
nothing better to do than to bother the smallest party around.
Right. We've seen it happen, and they have different reasons for it. They want to sabotage. Maybe that's one of them. Another reason might be just seeking some level of power, like these failed Republicans who we've seen jump in, like Bob Barr, into the Libertarian Party.
They just love bylaws?
Who knows what it is? I think it's a power thing, personally, but regardless, it's a problem. It's something that has affected the National Libertarian Party to its detriment, to where the last 3 political candidates in the presidential race that the Libertarian Party has fielded have been an embarrassment to the principles of liberty. And so my question is, how can the Libertarian, if it's even possible, can the Libertarian Party of New Hampshire build itself to prevent that kind of a takeover? Is it even something that can happen?
Well, you know, the way the laws are in New Hampshire of how candidates are chosen for recognized political parties, and now the Libertarian Party, since we have ballot access, we are a recognized political party, meaning that our candidates are chosen in a primary, meaning that
state-run primary,
taxpayer-funded.
Right.
I don't want it. The majority of the executive committee of the Libertarian Party doesn't want a taxpayer-funded primary.
But you can't say no to it.
But we are forced to have one, which also means that the party has absolutely no say over who our candidates actually are.
So anybody that goes down to the clerk's office, gives them $2 for the state rep race, they're going to be enlisted as a libertarian on the primary.
If they're registered as a libertarian.
Right. What if they run for 2 different offices under 2 different...
Not allowed to do that.
Okay, so it has to. You have to pick a party?
You have to pick a party.
You have to pick a party and a office. You can't file for state senate and state rep.
Now, you can be a nonpartisan office like...
there are certain municipal things where you can hold two of, but those are nonpartisan.
Right. We had here in Keene, we had a guy who was a school board member, a city councilor, and a state representative
at
the same time.
Not chosen on the same ballot.
Correct.
In towns, which Mark happens to live in a town, someone could be a trustee of the trust fund and a cemetery trustee, but one could not be a selectman and a trustee of the trust fund.
So, okay, so we know that the political process as far as candidate selection is run at the state level, but what about takeovers of party chairman, party, you know, vice chair?
Oh, we've got things in place to where you have to be a member of the party for a certain length of time before you're eligible. You have to be, if you're registered to vote, you cannot be registered as another party. So you either have to be registered as libertarian, registered undeclared, or just not registered to vote at all.
In order to
actually be a party officer.
I see.
In addition to having been a member for a certain amount of time and having lived in the state for a certain amount of time.
All right. So that prevents somebody from just walking into the convention and running as party chair.
I'm hoping that we'll be able to get something at the national level to require people to be members of the party for a certain length of time.
Before they can be a delegate.
Before they can either be a delegate, be a candidate for president or vice president, be a candidate or elected as, you know, a member of the LNC.
All right. So let's say somebody, they're, you know, an unprincipled hack. They come in, they've been hanging out in the party now for more than a year. They've been, you know, making public statements that are very unlibertarian, very, you know, unprincipled, and they're kind of an embarrassment to the Libertarian Party of New Hampshire. Can anything be done about that person, or is it just like you got to cross your fingers and hope they don't have that much support so they don't win the chairmanship if they run for it?
More of the latter.
Okay.
Yeah. And, you know, we've had a chair election at the past convention where
you were challenged.
I was challenged by someone who
There a duel?
There was not a duel. Someone who was not the most libertarian person and actually is still registered as a Republican. Even if he would have gotten elected, there were bylaws that were adopted saying that you can't be registered as a member of another party. So even if he would have gotten elected, he would have had to have resigned at the end of the convention.
And he didn't know that, apparently. So,
my thought on this is that people are getting all bunged up about the idea of Democrats and Republicans flipping to libertarian. And, you know, for me, I see their point, right? Like, you're more likely to get elected, perhaps, in most districts in New Hampshire and probably around the United States if you're one of the major parties or whatever. However, here in New Hampshire, the reps don't get paid much.
Right.
It's $200 for every 2 years.
Right.
And there's a lot of turnover, especially amongst the younger reps.
Right. And again, there are a lot of multi-member districts here. So if you're running in, say, a 4, 5, or 6-member district, or in the case of Caleb Dyer, he's
11.
In an 11-member district.
It's huge.
It's the biggest one in the state,
right? It's the biggest one in the country.
Wow.
You don't need to get a majority of the vote. You just, in some cases, you might only need to get like 10% of the vote and you get
elected.
That's
doable. That's possible.
Which is very, very doable.
Especially if you go door to door. In New Hampshire, that's the secret to winning an election, no matter what your party is. If you go door to door and you meet the people in the district.
When you go door to door, have something that you can give them.
Of course.
Especially something that can hang on a refrigerator that has your full name on it, that has the date
of the
and
election.
The location that they're going to be voting.
Yeah, absolutely. You got to hold these people's hands. It's
too
true.
Many people have gone to too many doors saying, hey, I'm running for office.
Yeah.
And the people are like, oh, that's really great. I like them. What was their name? I have no idea.
Right.
It must have been George W. Bush. I'll just put that down.
Good advice.
James Cleveland, former co-host, he went out, hung out with the college kids all the time,
passed stuff out.
Right. That was not door to door. That
was
hanging out with drunk people.
Right. But he only lost that primary by 30 votes, nonetheless. So the whole point here is the Libertarian Party of New Hampshire can remain principled, but we need an influx of principled people to be in the party to guard against these hacks that might come in to try to mess things up. Daryl W. Perry from LPNH.org. Thanks for coming on.
Thanks for having me.
And check out the full video of the announcement from yesterday. It's up right now at freekeen.com.
Bitcoin.com is the most unique online destination in the Bitcoin universe. Buying Bitcoin? Do it here. Want to speak your mind to other Bitcoin users? Our forum is always open and censorship free at forum.bitcoin.com. There's no bigger Bitcoin believers than the Bitcoin.com team. That's why this site is a one-stop shop for everything you need to get into Bitcoin life. You can also play games at games.bitcoin.com. Learn more at bitcoin.com. That's bitcoin.com.
Free Talk Live.
It's Free Talk Live. Dial toll free and join us right here. Our number is 855-450-FREE, like freedom. That's 855-450-3733. We do have Skype, and the Skype username is lrn.fm. Tonight, with you in the studio, it's Ian.
And Mark.
Coming up, only a few hundred people, several hundred people, told the IRS about their Bitcoin holdings, according to Coinbase. We'll share that with you coming up here in moments. Our number is 855-450-FREE, like freedom. We go to your phone calls and thoughts, and then also on the way, Mark, you'll be telling us about a construction contractor, who was arrested for having a bag of what the police thought was cocaine. Turned out it was just some dust from the drywall job that he was doing. But let's go to Tom. He's in Hudson, New Hampshire. You're on Free Talk Live. Hello, Tom. Tom in New Hampshire. Going once. Tom in New Hampshire, going twice. Maybe he's having some technical difficulties, or perhaps our network studios are. We'll put him back on hold and give him another shot. Here in a moment, the IRS has revealed new details about its investigation. And this, by the way, this is actually a couple months old or a few months old at this point. I just had never seen it before the last 48 hours. Filing court documents that suggest only a tiny percentage of virtual currency owners are reporting profits or losses in their annual returns. The new documents filed Thursday in San Francisco federal court come in the midst of a closely watched legal fight between the IRS and Coinbase, a popular service for buying and selling bitcoins that hosts over a million customer accounts. The dispute began last year.
Over a million accounts, okay.
Yep, the dispute began last year when the IRS issued a sweeping summons for Coinbase to turn over a vast amount of customer data, including every customer account, as well as detailed transaction records.
And that was a little much, even for Coinbase.
Yeah, Coinbase is noteworthy for being particularly obedient to the state, but they pushed back against the IRS in this particular case. In fact, they claim the IRS's demands are illegally broad and refused to comply, which in turn led the IRS to file a federal lawsuit to enforce the summons. Now, I don't recall if this shook out. Do you remember if this lawsuit? Because this, like I said, this is 3 months old. I wonder if that thing's still in play.
I can't tell you.
Yeah, I'd be curious to know. If anybody knows more about the status on the Coinbase IRS lawsuit, let us know. We might be able to dig into that a little bit further. But the lawsuit, of course, didn't come as a surprise. A new affidavit from IRS agent David Utzke reveals the additional information about how the agency is conducting its investigation. Specifically, Utzke explains that he ran a computer analysis against the IRS's repository of hundreds of millions of tax records and found fewer than 1,000 people had filed Form 8949 to account for a, quote, property description likely related to Bitcoin, unquote. Form 8949, for those of you who, like me, have no idea, is used to report capital losses and capital gains, and under current IRS rules, would require Bitcoin owners to declare their profits. In some cases,
only if they're selling. Okay, mm-hmm. So this is Bitcoin is treated by the Internal Revenue Service as a virtual commodity,
as property.
Yeah, well, a commodity, a property. I mean, uh-huh. Yes, but I mean, a commodity is the right term to use for this.
Okay,
so you know, you can buy Bitcoin for $2,600 per Bitcoin and sell it at $2,500. If you're selling and buying at different exchanges, it gets very, very difficult for the Internal Revenue Service to determine at what you purchased it.
Well, I would think it would be difficult for you to determine all that, because you've got to do all the work for them. They're not the ones
That's how you're supposed to do it, but
they don't have access to your personal account information.
The IRS doesn't care if you lose money on an investment, okay? Mm-hmm. Including it in your tax returns. Again, this is not legal advice, is probably not that big of a deal if you lose money, because they're just going to have to compensate you for it. However, if you gain money, that's a different story. And then let's say you buy Bitcoin from a friend of yours and then you sell it at an exchange. Well, who's to say what you bought it at? Maybe you bought it from the friend at $3,500, well above what it's worth on an exchange. And then you sell it at $26. Well, you know, this is where it all goes to. You know, you don't know.
In some cases, the profit could be significant given the virtual currency soared from $13 to over $1,100 during the three-year period for which the agency was seeking information. Here's a paragraph from Utzka's affidavit that states that only 802 individuals filed a Bitcoin-related form 8949. So I apologize. I thought it was only 802 people from Coinbase. Apparently, it's only 802 people from the entire United States population filed this paperwork.
Yeah.
Quote, the IRS searched the MTRDB form 8949 data for tax years 2013 through 2015. I received the results of those searches, wrote the agent. Those results reflect that in 2013, 807 individuals reported a transaction on the form using a property description likely related to Bitcoin. In 2014, it was 893 individuals. And then in 2015, it was 802 individuals who reported a transaction.
It looks like the cool kids aren't claiming Bitcoin sales.
Yeah, I would say so. This is really good news to me, because it is an indicator that people who are using Bitcoin do understand that it's none of the government's business what you're doing with your Bitcoin, and that they are willing to take some risk and not report this information, because I'm sure there's probably some sort of IRS rule that they're breaking by not telling them every little, you know, niche and detail of what they do with their money.
Right. I mean, you know, you're supposed to do everything on these forms. Sure.
So I think this is a refreshing number that shows that the American people, or at the very least the Bitcoiners in America, in the United States, are doing everything they can to avoid reporting this information to the government. And I just say, bravo, Bitcoiners. Bravo. That is fantastic news. It is impossible to know, as Fortune magazine points out here, what percentage of Coinbase customers that those numbers represent, but it's likely only a small fraction, even though some Coinbase accounts belong to non-U.S. citizens and many others did not have any transactions at all. It's possible that an IRS review of the accounts could identify hundreds of thousands of individuals who should have declared Bitcoin income. In their Friday blog post, this again from a few months ago, Coinbase has said that it has yet to turn over any information and that it will be pushing back against the scope of the summons. Coinbase's attorney Juan Suarez said, quote, Coinbase remains concerned with the indiscriminate and overbroad scope of the government summons, and we have produced no records under said summons. The company has previously described the IRS probe as unreasonable, noting the agency would not approach any other financial institutions like JP Morgan or PayPal and demand every single customer data record. That just wouldn't happen, they say. Coinbase CEO Brian Armstrong complained in January that the legal fight could cost his company up to $1 million, and he would prefer to spend that money hiring employees.
I would, too. I'm completely with Mr. Armstrong here, and this is a tough position he's put in.
Armstrong did at the time offer the olive branch to the IRS, saying that they would be providing, or would be willing to provide, customers with 1099B forms, which are used by brokerages and others to help customers report their taxes, which, of course, again, you know, hopefully people won't do.
Well, they're snitch forms. To help customers' taxes is ridiculous. The 1099, part of it goes to the customer. The other part goes to the IRS.
Does it? Okay.
You know,
I didn't know that.
It's my understanding of how that goes.
I think you might be right. Yeah, I think you might be right. Anyway,
if I'm wrong on that, please call in and correct me, but I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think that's usually true. They file a copy. A person close to Coinbase who is not authorized to speak for attribution confirmed to Fortune that the company and the IRS have been in talks, but has also expressed surprise that the agency has so far refused to narrow its demands. Well, why would that be a surprise? I mean, the IRS can push as hard as they want to
for
this.
If they don't have to pay for the attorneys.
Right. Those attorneys are on staff. they need, you know, something to do. So they're going to go to court against Coinbase on this one. And again, if we can learn more about the status of this, we will definitely let you know. But man, what great news to see that the people in the Bitcoin community are not reporting to the IRS, keeping their money out of the hands of the state. Screw them. Toll-free number tonight, 855-450-FREE, 855-450-3733. They are an evil bunch of people. They support war, the state agents, the IRS. It's all about supporting the war of the government, going around the world, destroying innocent people, destroying liberties here in the United States. No good person should be obeying these people. Now, I understand doing it out of fear. I understand that. I don't blame somebody for paying. I don't blame those 800 people for being so scared and going ahead and reporting to the IRS. But man, kudos to the other however many thousands of people who didn't report. You guys are great. So more coming up here in moments. 855-450-FREE, 855-450-3733. It's your money. It's your business. It's not theirs. It is Free Talk Live. You are invited right here. Toll-free, 855-450-FREE, like freedom. That's 855-450-3733. Mark, did you pull up Dash Force News to see what the latest in the Dash scene was? Because we've been talking a lot about Dash here on Free Talk Live, and folks over at Dash Force News have been kind of keeping up to date with what's happening out there.
Yeah, I thought one of their big stories here was that it looks like the state of Oregon, there's now a third Dash ATM as users demand more cryptocurrency options. So it's right there. It's a cryptocurrency ATM.
Correct.
That includes
Dash.
The ability to buy Dash.
Right. So it probably has Bitcoin or maybe some other stuff too.
Sure. But of course, you know, you buy Bitcoin, you can pay that big transaction fee.
True. And some of the machines, actually, Mark, I administrate a couple of Bitcoin vending machines here in New Hampshire. It's slightly different, kind of behind the scenes. It's what makes it a vending machine as opposed to an ATM. But there's new software coming into these machines that it used to be that when you would buy the Bitcoin through a Bitcoin vending machine, the Bitcoin vending machine owner or operator would take the hit as far as the fee.
Yeah.
Because it used to be 2 cents. So it was like no big deal to do that. But now the fees are like $2-3, maybe even more in certain cases. But the average fee is like, you know, or the median fee is like $2.50 or so. And so if somebody goes in and puts a $5 bill in one of these Bitcoin vending machines, they're losing money. They're just, you know, they're just doing that for the sake of getting Bitcoin out there. They're spending $2.50 of that $5 just to send the $5 worth of Bitcoin to the person. So it's a big loser, and it's a loser all the way up to about $50. So the minimum purchase for these Bitcoin vending machine operations to even, you know, make anything on a purchase is like at least $50, if not $100 these days. And that's crazy. Right. So what's happening is you're going to see a shift in the software, and I believe the General Bytes brand machine already has this, and the Lamasu is coming soon this year. So you're going to see a shift in the software where when the user goes up to the machine and they stick in a $5 bill, it's going to show them, okay, well, we're only going to be able to give you $2 worth of Bitcoin out of this. It's going to show the amount of the fee, and that's going to start coming from the customer's money instead of from the machine side of things. So
they're going to get it coming and going. The customer's going to, when they buy now, they're going to pay the fee.
They're going to pay the fee, correct.
And when they send their Bitcoin someplace
to
another wallet,
fee.
They have to pay the fee. So that's
correct.
Coming and going.
Right. I see what you're saying now. Yeah. Unless the fees get fixed, in which case, you know, if you hold on to the Bitcoin and fees.
You still get it coming and going, but who cares? If it's a small fee, nobody cares.
If it's 2 cents, then no big deal. So that's something you're going to see start happening because then. And I think that would also encourage people like, oh, if I put in $5, I only get $2 worth of Bitcoin. But if I put in $10, I get $8 worth of Bitcoin. So they might be, you know, encouraged to buy $10 or $20 worth in that case.
Well, this is one of the reasons people are buying Dash. Look,
right.
I'm doing transactions now as often as I possibly can.
With Dash.
With Dash. Yeah.
Me too.
There have been instances where I've still had to do it in Bitcoin.
Yeah. If I could go to the merchants downtown in Keene and use Dash, I would use that instead of Bitcoin.
Right. And it's just because the transaction fee is low, not to mention the fact that it's got far more privacy, features than Bitcoin's got. Its completion of a transaction time is 2.5 minutes as opposed to 10. There's some advantages, some reasons why Dash is a pretty darn good currency,
right.
And it's getting a lot of leverage. One more story over there at dashforcenews.com. Mm-hmm. This one isn't as sexy as, hey, we got another Bitcoin vending machine in Oregon, but it's Dash long-term roadmap leverages proof of work, proof of service hybrid. And I felt like when I read this that I learned some stuff. I know more about the whole proof of work, proof of service hybrid. Mm. And
this is like the behind the scenes mining thing, or
this is just kind of showing how the evolution of a cryptocurrency, right? Mm. Like Bitcoin started out, no one ever thought it was going to be like this.
With the huge fees?
With the market penetration that it's gotten.
They didn't think, oh, okay.
So
gotcha. I'm sure Satoshi hoped that it would get this big.
Yeah, but
He
had the vision for that, but he didn't have a vision for every problem that came along.
Of course not.
And
of course not.
You have to have the problems in order to solve the problems.
Right.
And to solve the problems, you need, you know, either innovations in the original technology or new technology. So there, go check that out, dashforcenews.com.
Cool. Good information. Our toll-free number is 855-450-FREE like freedom. That's 855-450-3733. In fact, speaking of Bitcoin and Dash and cryptocurrency, there's some exciting news here in Keene, New Hampshire, where it is, as of yet, unchallenged in my claim that Keene, New Hampshire is the largest number of Bitcoin businesses per capita of any city in the world.
Yeah, I saw an article today that said that it had that Keene had more Bitcoin accepting businesses per capita than San Francisco, but the article didn't qualify that San Francisco holds the title of the city with the most.
Yep.
And that's, you know, it's kind of funny that they don't mention that particular part.
Okay. So what you're referring to is the article that's on the front page of the local Monadnock Shopper, that one?
Yep.
I'm going to have a scan of that or a PDF version of that up tonight over at freekeen.com. So folks who want to see what's been what's actually appearing on 40,000 household mailboxes across Cheshire County, New Hampshire, the whole southwestern area of New Hampshire, every household is going to be given a newspaper today that has Bitcoin as its front page headline. So very excited about that happening. And there's a lot that's happening here because of the liberty activists who've migrated here. This ongoing New Hampshire freedom migration that's making a huge impact, not just in the political system, but in the Bitcoin world as well. So there's really so much to be excited about here in New Hampshire. If you are a libertarian, if you're a voluntarist, if you're a liberty-loving anarchist, you really need to ask yourself why you aren't yet planning a move. If you're not, if you're already planning a move, awesome. You ought to go to you should go to forum.shiresociety.com, and you can connect with other people who are also planning to move, people who have already moved here, like Mark and myself were there. And there's even a Free Talk Live sub-forum there, and you can meet other Free Talk Live listeners.
True.
At forum.shiresociety.com. Toll-free number tonight is 855-450-FREE, like freedom. Coming up, Mark, you've got the story about the man who was busted for drywall dust. Was it Florida where this happened?
Yeah. We're going to have a new hashtag. Instead of Florida man, it's going to be Florida cop.
Okay.
Right. So I thought that this was just absolutely ridiculous until I began looking into it. And apparently this stuff happens. A Florida police officer previously had mistaken donut glaze for meth resin.
I remember that story.
And now a Florida man has been jailed for months.
Oh, God.
As police mistake drywall dust for cocaine. So this is, anyone can say anything they want about how important our judicial system is and these sorts of things. One thing they can't argue with is the idea of a speedy trial is laying in the ditch, gasping for breath after having been stabbed multiple times by the people in the judicial system. Mm. It's just kicked to death.
And this guy's been awaiting trial in jail.
Well, he's not even awaiting. He's awaiting trial, but he was awaiting the test to get him back on
My
the drywall
God.
Dust.
The toll-free number is 855-450-FREE like freedom. This is Free Talk Live. More on that story on the way. You can join us as well.
Dash is digital cash, a digital currency designed to replace cash and help people manage their own wealth. It's fast and easy, fees are low, and transactions are confirmed instantly. Pay anyone, anywhere in the world, anytime, for just pennies on the dollar. Dash is the first digital money that's governed by its users. Join Dash and help us build a better financial system for everyone. Find out more at dash.org. That's dash.org.
It's Free Talk Live. Dial toll-free right here. Bring up anything that you want. Our number is 855-450-FREE. That's 855-450-3733. And we do have Skype. Skype username is lrn.fm with you tonight. It's Ian.
And Mark.
So do want to also let you know that there's a satellite fundraiser going on. I haven't mentioned it in the last couple of weeks. It is happening on Patreon. We did previous satellite fundraisers on Indiegogo, and, you know, it's a fine platform for fundraising in a short period of time, but this is a long-term project that is going on, and so I wanted to have a way to allow the people who support our satellite channels. We have free-to-air satellite channels over North and Central America and over Sub-Saharan Africa that air Free Talk Live, as well as LRN.fm, all the great shows that are on there, the dozens of liberty-oriented podcasts and some of the live shows that we have as well, like Declare Your Independence with Ernie Hancock. Some people support having those on those satellite channels, but it's, you know, a little pricey to do that. It's not terrible, but it's something. And so it's nice to have a little bit of help from those who support the program. If you want to help get behind those satellite channels, then go to Patreon. It's our Patreon. You just go to fund.lrn.fm, F-U-N-D, fund.lrn.fm, and that'll jump you right over to the LRN Patreon, where you can pony up all of $2 a month or more if you feel so inclined. But $2 a month gets you in as one of our satellite patrons, and that helps us continue broadcasting the ideas of liberty and peace and cryptocurrency to places like Africa, where there's some not-so-free countries, and people really need to hear the ideas of liberty. And, of course, in the United States and the rest of North and Central America, where, again, people
who can speak, free countries.
People who can speak English, they should be able to hear the ideas of liberty. If you want to put together a Spanish channel, well, then that's on you. But that's what we're doing with LRN.fm. You can go to fund.lrn.fm to get behind that and get some of the perks involved in that, including the LRN badge that you can get, the LRN badge for the Free Talk Live forum over at forum.freetalklive.com. All right, let's go to the phones, to the fun. Steve is in St. Louis, Missouri. You're on Free Talk Live with Ian and Mark. Hello, Steve.
Hello.
Hey there.
You're on the radio. What I wanted to bring up today is the idea of Trump and his idea of the wall.
Sure. Okay, what about it?
I know you guys spoke about this recently, but what about it? Well, there are coyotes, which are men who bring people across the border.
Human smugglers, yeah.
Yeah. And they're going to find a way around it.
Yep, that's true.
I can't
true.
See how they wouldn't. Now, the question is, will they get as many people across the border? And I think that it seems like putting a wall up would probably dampen the amount of people, maybe even, just knock it down to a tenth or whatever.
It'll make
it
more expensive. They'll have to pay the coyotes more in order to get across.
But to me, I think the most ridiculous part of the wall is that basically the Texas border portion of the wall is the Rio Grande River, the middle of it. And you can't build a wall in the middle of a river. So if you're going to build a wall, you have to build it. You have to build it on people's property, sitting on the one side of the wall, and that gets it real darned expensive. There's all kinds of sort of logistical problems with it. He's talking about it's not a wall, it's not a fence, it's a wall. You know, and it's got 10 feet higher, and you know, like all that kind of stuff.
Right. Steve? Or they could go further. Further down past Texas.
Into Mexico?
Still be able to smuggle people over.
Oh, you mean around the wall? Through the wall?
Yeah.
Yeah. They certainly can.
Yep, the Pacific Ocean's a pretty big place.
And well, Texas would be the Atlantic, the Gulf. Yeah.
Well, right, but as far as like smuggling people around the border, there's also the Pacific Ocean as well. So lots of options for people to get up here. The question is, will they want to come here if there truly is a police state crackdown on immigration? Because it will make life more difficult. It, you know, they already have to live in the shadows as much as possible. And if the United States ends up being a worse dictatorship or police state or whatever you want to call it, then the country where they're coming from, they're just going to stay home or they're going to find another place to go. And then we're all going to be, you know, the economy is going to be in the crapper here in the United States because of that. So it's a bad plan.
Because they contribute to the economy. So
big time. They take a lot of jobs that a lot of people, they say they want, but they don't actually want. When the time comes, you know, when the time comes to hire people to work out in those fields, you don't see a big old line of, you know,
Americans.
Pussified white Americans standing in that line, you know, with the, you know, what do you build up on your hands?
Calluses.
Calluses. There you go.
I would
I don't have any. I press buttons for a living.
I'd be happy to go out and pick, you know, vegetables or whatever for a living, but you're going to have to pay me something like $250,000 a year to do it.
That's going
to
be an expensive pineapple.
Right. That's going to be an expensive, well, pineapple's not a vegetable, but it's going to be an expensive piece of produce, that's for sure.
I thought you were talking about any kind of picking. Thanks for the call, Steve. I appreciate hearing from you. The toll-free number here, 855-450-FREE. I suspect you would pick pineapple if they paid you enough to pick pineapple, too.
Indeed.
All right, so you can bring up whatever is on your mind. We were talking about the construction contractor who had to sit in jail because he had a bag apparently full of drywall dust.
Nope.
Not even a bag, just drywall dust scattered in his...
A Florida man spent 90 days in jail because police mistook drywall for cocaine.
The drywall itself?
Carlos Cash, read a little story. Let me read a little bit of the story.
Yeah, please.
We're one sentence in, and you've already asked like three questions. Carlos Cash of Oviedo thought he was getting pulled over for a traffic violation in March, but it turned out to be much more of an ordeal, according to WFTV. Cash, who was on probation for marijuana and cocaine charges, was driving with his headlights off, but an officer spotted a white substance in the car's floor and at the scene. It tested positive for cocaine. I know for a fact that is drywall because I'm a handyman, Cash told WFTV. I said that continuously during the arrest stop because Cash was accused of violating probation. He was denied bond. I sat there 90 days knowing I was...
19 or 19?
90. Okay, 90 days knowing I was innocent. Lab tests came back 3 months later, proving that there were no drugs in his car at the time of his arrest.
I bet he didn't get an apology.
Cash left jail last week, according to WFTV. So that, like, you know...
Did he get a paycheck? I doubt it. I doubt they got any kind of settlement.
He was on probation.
Yeah, they just treat you like garbage.
If you're on probation, as far as they're concerned, they're doing you a favor by letting you be free.
It's crazy.
So, this illustrates how police officers aren't getting the training they need for these tests, and that these tests are crap.
The roadside test, you mean?
The roadside test
showed
that drywall powder on the floor of his vehicle.
So this was just something that was stuck to his boot or whatever and gotten in the carpeting of the vehicle.
He could have, you know, it probably was on some tools and got dusted off or whatever. So drywall, when you have these drywall saws, they're these you know, little, they look like knives, but they've got a jagged edge, right? And you saw the drywall to make holes in them and that sort of thing. Yeah. And it makes a lot of dust.
Sure.
It's going to be dust that's probably 2-3 millimeters wide. Is a pulverized, the drywall in that 2 or 3 millimeters width is pulverized. It just disappears.
And the cops just thought he was so high that he was just flinging cocaine everywhere.
Right. This guy's so rich.
Yeah.
Coke is all over the place in his vehicle.
Because that's what your typical Coke user does, right? Just sprays it all over the place.
Your typical Coke user is going along with a straw on the floor.
On the floor. Yep.
Sucking up whatever they can get out of
there. Because that stuff's expensive.
Yeah.
Cocaine is incredibly expensive.
Yeah. So cash is 57 years old.
Wow.
And, you know, just
90 days in the pokey.
Yeah. Not really any point in that.
Because even though the cops screwed it up, there's no punishment for them.
It looks like he had a gram and he crushed it up when we saw you, one officer says to the other in the video of the arrest.
All right. More coming up here in moments. 855-450-FREE, like freedom, 855-450-3733. You can take control of the airwaves and join us right here on Free Talk Live. It is Free Talk Live. Dial toll free and join us right here. Our number is 855-450-FREE, like freedom, 855-450-3733. Tonight in studio, it's Ian.
And Mark.
Coming up, interesting developments happening down in Venezuela with an attempted coup by a rogue cop in Venezuela. We'll give you details on that if we get the chance, but your calls and thoughts come first here. Let's go to the phones and to the phone where we got Herman in Springfield, Missouri. You're on Free Talk Live. Hello, Herman.
How are you there?
Hey, great. Go ahead with your thoughts.
All right. I want to get some thoughts on what's going on with the drug trade. I was just reading an article. I think it was, 12,000 kilos or 14,000, you know, skids and skids of keys of cocaine that we actually busted, one of the biggest drug busts in history.
I'll take your word.
Is this a recent thing?
I didn't hear anything about it, but okay.
Okay. Well, do you think, I'm sure that some of this had to come, the majority of the cocaine, you know, comes from the South.
That's correct. Yeah.
Do you think that Trump's little wall he's going to build is going to stop any of that?
No, that is definitely not going to stop. So as what I was saying before, we had a guy call in about the wall and coyotes, which are people that smuggle human beings. It's a lot harder to smuggle a human being than it is to smuggle an inanimate object like a pound of cocaine or thousands of pounds of cocaine. Because
You should see the pictures online. I mean, there's a skid of cocaine.
Oh, yeah. No, I'm with you. It's just what I'm saying is it's harder to smuggle human beings than it is to smuggle cocaine because generally you want to keep the human beings alive on the other side. You know, when they get to their destination, they've paid you to try to, like, keep them alive. It doesn't always work out, but it's a little bit more of a challenge to smuggle a human being. They're going to have to go to the bathroom probably at some point, you know, during that ride. They may have to, you know, put them in there with a Little John or some sort of bottle that they can go into without having to actually get out of the truck, depending on where they're at in the journey. So there are certain challenges that arise when you're smuggling people as opposed to smuggling drugs. Obviously, smuggling drugs, you can easily, or, you know, there are more places that you can hide those drugs in the panels of the vehicle, for instance, or, you know, under the floorboards or whatever. There's different ways to do that. It gets a little more tricky when you're dealing with a human being. And as I was pointing out, humans are going to decide whether or not they want to come to the United States based on the opportunities that they perceive that they have here. And if they perceive that this is a total police state, they're not going to want to come here. They're going to, you know, if it's more free in the place where they were going to leave than it is in the United States, then they're not going to come to the United States. The reason why the U.S. is a good destination for immigrants is because of its relative freedom compared to the rest of the world. But drugs, on the other hand, are going to come in no matter the political status of the United States. In fact, you could even argue that the more oppressive the United States government gets, the more likely drugs are going to come in because people are going to want to escape from the oppressive reality that they find themselves in. So it'll actually drive more drug use. It'll drive more escapism, which will drive more profit-seeking criminals to move those drugs across the border. So no matter how high that border wall is, no matter what level of security is around it, there's nothing that's going to keep the drugs out, ever.
Yep, they'll go over it.
Well, and I get that. And it's like, how high is he going to build this wall? And we're talking thousands of miles. This thing couldn't even get built in this first 4 years of term.
Yeah.
And I really doubt he's not going to. I really doubt he's going to get reelected.
Yeah, well, who knows about that? So, I mean, it seems like these presidents are going in 8 year terms, so I would say there's a good chance he'll get reelected. But nonetheless, even if he doesn't, you're right. The wall is going to take a long time. It's going to be a boondoggle. It's going to be super expensive. It's going to go way over cost. I mean, these are just general predictions you can make about any government program, and the wall is going to be no exception to that. Herman, thanks for your call tonight. I appreciate it. Our toll-free number if you want to join us here is 855-450-FREE, like freedom. That's 855-450-3733. Yeah, I mean, there's no doubt this wall is going to be a major boondoggle if it actually gets started.
Logistically and legally, this wall is a nightmare. It's unlikely that it's going to occur.
You think it was just a campaign promise to break?
I think he probably believed that he was going to get it done. But what he's finding out is that the presidency of the United States of America is a lot more trouble than it is power.
Hmm.
You know, that... He just,
plenty of power, but yeah, I see what you're saying.
He just wasn't prepared for this. Power my foot. He spent most of his time fighting off, you know, talking about how he won the election and fighting off the news media who's after him like a baying bloodhound. Like they are on the trail. He hasn't achieved much of anything. Executive orders
been overturned. Some of them.
Yep, some to some extent.
The big ones.
But, you know, I think he had an unrealistic view as to what it meant to be president of the United States. I think that a lot of us think that it means that we're going to get in there, we're going to solve some problems. And
the government is the problem. And that, you know, being the president ain't going to solve that one. That's for sure. Drugs are going to come in no matter what the status of the wall is. I mean, look at some of the elaborate underground tunnels that these drug cartels have built. These guys are well funded. And for all the war talk, you know, the cops love to talk about their war against drugs and the government loves to talk about their war on drugs. But the drugs aren't fighting back. So it's not like a real war where you have two sides fighting one another, because if the cartels wanted to, they could fight it out with the police, and they would actually do pretty good, because the cartels, if they wanted to have a down, dirty, actual war where, you know, guns are shot, people are assassinated, things are blown up, the cartels could decimate, in my opinion, the Border Patrol. They are well-funded, and they don't have the same rules that they have to play by.
The cartels would go after the Border Patrol and the United States law enforcement and stuff if it was profitable for
them. It's more profitable to just pay them off. It's, you know, it's war is a destructive thing. And the cartels don't have unlimited funds, unlike the government, but they do have a lot of money, and they could very well. So all I'm saying is, if the drug cartels wanted a war on drugs, they could jump into a war, and they could possibly win that war. It would make life very difficult for those Border Patrol members. But it's much easier.
I disagree with your statement.
You don't think so?
No, I don't. I think that, first off, you're just saying, the Border Patrol.
Bring the military in.
In the imaginary world where the United States military is not called in after 20 or 30 Border Patrol agents
get
killed, well, yes, maybe the drug cartels could beat the Border Patrol. But this isn't Deadliest Warriors on Spike TV. Okay, this is the world where if you kill 20 or 30 Border Patrol agents, there will be drones in the sky.
It doesn't have to be a straight out war. Have to be a straight out war. It would be a guerrilla war from the drug cartel side.
The cartels,
they can send car bombs in through.
Cartels don't benefit that way, though.
I know that's what I'm telling you. That's why they're going to pay off the Border Patrol, because that's the road of least resistance. All I'm saying is, if they wanted a war, Mark, they could make life hell for those Border Patrol agents.
Wait a second.
Still have to let cars through that checkpoint.
But
and
Ian,
that means,
who is going to blow themselves up for a cartel?
Anybody that they have that owes them money that they, you know, Mark, we're going to kill your family unless, you know, you owe us all this money now, okay? So we're going to kidnap your family unless you go through and blow up this. They have their ways.
Right. And then they kill three or four people. in their car bomb, because that's usually what get killed with a car bomb, and then it's on again.
Yeah. Look,
the last thing you want to do is wake up the sleeping giant that is the United States military.
I understand. I'm not advocating for this, Mark. I'm just saying if they
wanted
to.
I'm just saying you have an unrealistic opinion of what the cartels could do. The cartels will be laid waste.
You're wrong about that. You're
laid
wrong.
Waste.
You're wrong. They've got good technology. They don't have a uniform on.
They're not fighting for the same reasons the guerrillas are fighting in foreign countries.
That's true.
Those people are fighting for religions. They're going to get 70-something virgins when they go to heaven.
True.
They're fighting for national honor, which is the way that you're able to pay minimum wage to people to catch bullets for you.
Sure.
These people are fighting for one thing, money. And people that are fighting for money don't fight as hard.
I am in totally agreement with you, Mark. I don't think it's something that'll ever happen. I'm just saying that if they wanted to, they could make the life of these Border Patrol agents a living hell.
Soldier, do you see this picture? This picture is Billy. Billy is dead.
It would make it a lot harder.
Billy was killed by a drug cartel.
Yeah, it'd make it
a lot
harder.
Go out there and kill that drug cartel because they killed Billy.
Sure, but how do you identify who the drug cartels are? Just shoot
drug
anybody?
Cartel agents.
Just shoot everybody.
That's how it's done, baby. You get up in a helicopter, you take a 50 cal, everybody that's dead.
That's what it would look like. You're right.
The drug cartel.
Because that's what they would have to do, because they couldn't possibly identify who they were in advance. More coming up. It's Free Talk Live.
A funny thing happens when you don't advertise. Nothing. Modern advertisers have been trained to look for trackability in their advertising, and web search ads are great for that. They also help you get the consumer that's looking for products like yours in the moment. But they're expensive, and they do nothing to convince people to try your product segment in the first place. They help you get a bigger piece of the pie, but branding mediums like radio grow the pie itself. Free Talk Live's on more than 150 stations, and we can help advertisers with little budgets and big ones. Send me an email, mark@freetalklive.com. It's mark@freetalklive.com.
Free Talk Live, you dial in toll free, bring up anything you want. Our number here, 855-450-FREE, like freedom, that's 855-450-3733. We've got Skype, and the Skype username is lrn.fm. With you tonight in studio, it's Ian.
And Mark.
As we launch into the third hour of the program, all kinds of stuff we can talk about, but it's up to you what we actually do talk about. You can dial in here and bring up anything that you want. In Bitcoin news, interesting news from news.bitcoin.com, the top headline there today is that Burger King is going to be accepting Bitcoin payments starting this summer in Russia. And it's only a franchisee. So it's not the whole chain. It's not all corporate Burger King for the entire globe. But one of their franchisees is apparently going to be adopting Bitcoin, which is very exciting. And according to the story, it's been growing popular in Bitcoin. The country's governmental authorities are expected to officially acknowledge and regulate the cryptocurrency in the near future. Now, according to reports, Dmitry Medvoy, the general director of Burger King Russia, says the fast food franchise is looking for a developer to install a Bitcoin payment processing software for the restaurant's cash registers and Burger King.ru apps. The Russian Burger King general director said, quote, the company plans to announce the winner of the tender for development of software that would enable us to accept bitcoins. The contractor will have to develop solutions for Burger King.ru, the mobile apps for Android and iOS, and cash registers on our keeper. Medvoy has been determined to make Burger King a market leader in Russia by planning for the expansion of more restaurants in the Siberian region, and currently the Burger King franchise only has shops in Yekaterinburg, St. Petersburg, and Moscow. Uznevisay details Burger King Russia accepting Bitcoin payments is one of the first initial steps towards mainstream merchant services accepting cryptocurrencies in the country. And I wonder, you know, if there's any compatibility between, like, let's say the Burger King Russia point of sale system and the U.S. ones. Like, if a Burger King franchisee in the United States wanted to let's say adopt what Burger King Russia comes up with here, when they finally
how easy would it be?
Yeah, how easy would it be? A plug and play thing? Could they pay a licensing fee?
It wouldn't be plug and play, but I mean, you've got the difference in rubles, and you've got all kinds of
issues. You'd have to hire a programmer to convert it over. Yeah. But, you know, would most of the work be done? Would it be relatively simple if somebody wanted to do that? So, you know, kudos to them. The Burger King announcement follows deputy head of Russia's Ministry of Finance, Alexei Mosayev's recent statements towards introducing regulatory guidelines for cryptocurrency purchases. And additionally, the Central Bank of Russia has been working on a proposal to classify Bitcoin as a digital asset for tax purposes. The Russian Burger King will not be the only Burger King brand fast food franchise that accepts Bitcoin, as a restaurant in the Dutch city of Arnhem also accepts the cryptocurrency for food services. So that's a pretty cool headline. It's always neat when you see a big company like, you know, with a name like Burger King or Dell Computers or Wikipedia, which are two other companies that take Bitcoin.
Overstock.
Overstock is another biggie. When the big boys come on board, it lends a level of legitimacy to Bitcoin. I mean, it's cool to see mom and pops, like here in Keene, New Hampshire. We got a bunch of mom and pop businesses that take Bitcoin. But, you know, having the big businesses is what people recognize, right? Like, we can say Corner News in Keene takes it, but somebody outside of Keene doesn't know what that is, and they don't probably really care. But when you say Burger King in Russia is going to start taking Bitcoin, that's awesome. Let's go to your calls and thoughts here. Again, that news came from news.bitcoin.com, which is a great aspect of bitcoin.com, kind of the go-to site for all things that are Bitcoin-related, that... They've also got a great intro to Bitcoin. So if you're brand new, if you're just now hearing about Bitcoin, or you're just now finally taking it seriously and you want to learn the basics, you go to bitcoin.com. As we go to Libertarian Banker, he's on the line calling from somewhere in the United States. You're on Free Talk Live. Hello, Banker.
Hey, guys. Hey. Just wanted to call in real quick. I this is kind of a topic that's probably, you know, boring on the talk about on the radio, but I think it's relevant, especially in the liberty sphere. And that's the Federal Reserve. They met the other day, well, not the other day, probably a couple weeks ago, to change the interest rate. And a lot of people don't realize that the interest rate is the price of money.
Right.
The only way you can get money is to borrow it, and the price you pay for that is in the interest rate.
Okay.
And Just to be clear,
before you go on, is the Federal Reserve their interest rates? That's what they charge the banks to borrow, right? And then the banks charge an extra portion on top for their customers?
Well, yeah, absolutely. They have to make their money and cover their costs. So that's called the spread. So, So they borrow it from the Federal Reserve sort of the lender of last resort. That's
and can't the banks take what they've borrowed from the Federal Reserve and then loan that out 9 times?
Well, I don't think it's just the inherent way that the money system works. It's nothing like that the Federal Reserve does. It's magic. It's just if you have a dollar in a checking account, okay, $1,000 in a checking account, I'm going to loan out $900 to Mark. Mark takes that $900, puts it in his checking account, and then that bank then loans out $800 on that $900, and then he puts that in his checking account. And then loans out $700 on that, hey, $800, and so on and so forth.
But isn't it true that the same bank can loan out money based on like 9 times
the
amount?
Yeah, so if you
had
an account with my, if I loaned you money and you had an account with my bank, you put it in the account, but bada bing, I got $2.
No, right? I don't know if I'm making it clear. I've heard, now I don't know if it's true, but I've heard that fractional reserve banking.
When you have reserves with the Federal Reserve, because you send your money off to the Federal Reserve to hold it, because you don't hold all the money there.
Exactly.
Are you then allowed to loan against that money that's saved at the Federal Reserve
up to 9 times?
Multiple times against that amount of money?
So the answer is yes.
That's what I thought.
Let me back up. The Federal Reserve is sort of where your balance sheet as a bank will settle. Nothing else comes. So what I mean is you want, as a bank, to deploy all of your money in the most efficient way possible as a bank. Okay, so you're going to take those dollars and you're going to buy mortgage-backed securities, you're going to buy some bonds, you're going to make some loans, you're going to whatever it is. You're going to place that money in the most efficient place. The most inefficient place, the place to put it or to borrow it from, is the Federal Reserve.
Okay.
Just because the rates aren't that good. I can borrow from you for a tenth of a percent and borrow from the Federal Reserve at 1.25%, you know? So
I'm not loaning you at a tenth of a percent.
Well, that's what it is.
When deposit your money in my bank, absolutely, I'm paying you nothing.
That was what it is, tenth of a percent.
Oh, I thought you meant a private loan.
That's what a savings account is.
I thought you meant a private loan, that you was the person.
No, if you put money at a bank, they're not going to pay you anything for it. So that's
right, no, I apologize. I thought you were saying you could borrow money from me, which would be a private loan, which are usually higher priced than bank loans.
When I was in the local advertising business and I did lots of ads for banks, what they wanted was deposits. They wanted people to come in
low cost
and open an
money
account
in their hands, get a calendar, get a toaster, get whatever it takes, and put money in the bank. Maybe CDs,
but
they'd rather have those. They'd rather have the depositors, the checking accounts, the savings accounts, those kind of
things. Yeah, because for several reasons there. Those are very, you're going to get absolutely, you're going to pay nothing for those deposits. And as rates increase, your deposit account interest rates don't increase at the same rate that the loaning rates increase.
Right.
So that rate, as the rates rise, the spread gets bigger and bigger and the banks just eat it up. That's why in this type of environment, as rates go up, they want those deposits.
Hmm.
So, what I really wanted to say about the Federal Reserve and interest rates was how cryptic they are when they talk about it. It seemed, I don't know if you've ever read any of these press releases that they put out.
I've read them.
For lack of a
better
word,
terribly boring.
I've read them.
They're awful, but they're so cryptic. They try to, because they're what they say can move the market. It's almost like in Soviet Russia when they looked at the Sears catalog to price things out. As like, we don't know what a car's worth. Let's look what is Sears charging for it. Like, they have no
clue
what
they're
doing.
It's a shot in the dark. Sure.
And interest rates are really supposed to be, because it's a price, price is really a signal to buyers and sellers.
Sure. Stand by if you want to finish up your thoughts here. More with Libertarian Banker in moments. This is Free Talk Live. You can join us, too. It is Free Talk Live, and you can bring up whatever you want. Just dial on in toll-free here at 855-450-FREE, like freedom, 855-450-3733. Coming up, if we get the chance, we'll tell you about the latest in Venezuela, where a rogue cop has attempted to, I guess, blow up the Supreme Court building. And this is the building that was already set ablaze a couple of weeks ago.
Yeah, they're real happy about those Supreme Court rulings that are coming out there in Venezuela.
Yeah. So we'll tell you about that on the way here. It's Ian and Mark in the studio tonight. And, of course, we want you to join us online over at freetalklive.com, where you can enjoy all kinds of features. Those features are completely free. Archives that go back for more than a decade. You can watch us on YouTube. You can get interactive with other Free Talk Live listeners in a variety of ways. Just go to freetalklive.com and enjoy. Let's go back to Libertarian Banker. He's calling from somewhere in the United States, talking about the Federal Reserve and their arbitrarily set interest rates. And you were talking about how normally the market sets rates on things, but when the Fed just picks a rate, it's not really based on anything, right? Go ahead.
All right. So, first off, just want to say I appreciate the amount of time that I get on Free Talk Live. I know how many people call in and complain about it, but
yeah.
I appreciate keeping me over here. But, interest rates being the price of money, basically, and being fixed by the Federal Reserve, interest rates and prices in general are a signal to investors and to buyers and sellers in the market. Whether to buy or to sell.
If the interest rates are low, more people are going to invest, right?
Absolutely. Okay. So what happened in 2000, the ramp up to crash in 2008 was the interest rates were artificially low. You had people borrowing money to invest, to do more things, creating that crash that happened. And so that was a bubble that happened and an unintended consequences of price fixing. Example of that is the income gap, or I'm sorry, the gap between the wealthy and the poor in this country. And that's because of the Federal Reserve and the fixing of interest rates. Because if I'm a guy and my life savings is $10,000 in a savings account and I put it in a bank at 0.5%, But yet, you know, a big commercial developer can go and borrow money at 3 or 4% and develop projects and make millions. And that's the unintended consequences of having those low interest rates, is you're going to see the gaps between the wealthy and the poor, because they're playing it to their advantage.
Right. I remember when I was a kid, 18 years old or maybe even less than that, my dad showed me some formula on how to be a millionaire when you retired, right?
And start saving early.
Basically, it was like $100 a week or a month. I'm not entirely sure what the formula was. It's okay that I don't remember, because it's irrelevant now.
Really?
Essentially, if you got 7% or 5.5%, I can't remember what it was. But I had a checking account at Coast Federal Savings and Loan. Coast Federal Savings and Loan
in Florida,
in Bradenton, Florida, that paid 5.5%.
Is that the 80s?
This was in the 80s.
Yeah.
And now you can't get anywhere near that.
You're lucky if you can get 0.5%.
If you're lucky if you get that off of your mutual fund.
Mm-hmm.
And he had showed me this formula. And basically, if you did this for 20 years, and I don't know what the formula is off the top of my head. I'm sure the internet has it. But you'd be a millionaire by the time you retired. All you had to do was do that for 20 years, and then you'd be done.
And you mentioned that time in the 80s of high interest rates, that's another example of price fixing on the opposite side, where interest rates were fixed artificially high. Now, granted, that was by design from Paul Volcker, who was the Federal Reserve chairman at the time, because there was an exponential growth in the economy that they was supposedly trying to slow. But they created that exponential artificial growth prior to that because of their meddling of going in and out of the gold standard the decades prior. So it's just, you know, they've tried to come up with solutions to problems that they create, and it creates more problems because they don't understand economics.
So. No doubt about it. Banker, thanks for the call tonight. I appreciate hearing from you. The toll-free number is 855-450-FREE. Well, what do you do about it? I mean, you're at their mercy, and they are not merciful as far as their monetary policy
is concerned. They're moving money to their friends and connected people, not you.
Right, so what do you do about it? I think that, you know, the Bitcoiners and the cryptocurrency folks, the Dashers and Ethereum advocates, these people have the right idea. You get your money out of this old system, this old money system. Yeah, you still got to keep some in there. Just because it's, you know, easier to pay an electric bill or whatever if you can, you know, just do it from your bank account. But there are, you know, Bitcoin ways to pay bills too. So if you want to, you can really go all in with cryptocurrency. But I generally don't recommend keeping all your eggs in one basket. I'm no investment advisor, but that's one of those basic pieces of advice that people should probably follow.
Yeah.
But if you want to protect your wealth, then you got to get it out of the old money system. Put it into something like cryptocurrency. Put it into gold or silver. Put it into something besides the U.S. dollar, because those dollars, even if you're in an interest-bearing account, you're still behind the ball when it comes to inflation.
I've got an IRA that's, you know, you can do some level of directing and that sort of thing. That IRA is worth basically what it was worth 5 years ago.
Really?
They keep on skinning me over and over. Like, I don't know if it's the fees or what it is, but I only look at it about once a year, and it's like, oh, that hasn't changed.
Wow.
Whatever the system was for people to be able to put money away and retire on that money appears to have been rigged. Oh, look, people are putting money over here. How can we make money off of their money?
Right.
And that's what it looks like is happening. Now, I don't know. I haven't dug deep into this. You know, I'm no watchdog on Wall Street by any stretch of the imagination. But I've got investments. And the only thing that's worked for me in the relatively recent past is crypto.
Yep, that's true. Although gold and silver will tend to hold their value as compared to the state currency.
Great,
over the,
so
over
is my
time.
IRA.
Sure, I see what you're saying, but you don't really have control over the IRA. You've got control over physical gold and physical silver that you can put in a place where, let's just say, if the government were to raid your IRA or something like that, you'd be screwed. but they can't easily get their hands on gold and silver. So I still think that that precious metals are a good hedge against inflation.
A great hedge against inflation, but I spent them when I bought that catamaran last year.
Uh-huh.
I used the gold and
silver. You cashed
silver
it in?
I didn't. I gave it to the
seller.
Yeah,
I
bought with crypto and
I didn't know you did that.
Gold and silver.
Oh, that's
so
cool.
The guy was really into gold and silver, and
perfect,
he was willing to take a little risk on some crypto, and
I was able
to do that. And then, of course, I took out a home equity line for the rest of it. Thank goodness, because if I had used crypto, it's tripled in that amount of time.
Yeah, no doubt. So anyway, I'm not telling you what to get, but I would say if you're all in as far as the U.S. dollar is concerned, just go ahead and prepare yourself for a screwing. It's not as bad as it is in Venezuela, of course, where one U.S. dollar will buy you thousands of bolivars on the black market compared to the 10 bolivars that it'll get you in the banks. And by the way, right now the exchange rate in Venezuela is almost 8,000 bolivar per U.S. dollar. 7,900.
And rising.
Yep, 7,984 bolivars per U.S. dollar. So it could be a lot worse, but keeping all your money in government money is a bad plan for the future. More coming up.
Looking for a great real estate investment? Consider New Hampshire, which is ground zero for the Liberty Movement. Your first call should be to Mark Warden from Porcupine Real Estate. He's more than just a real estate agent. He's your New Hampshire concierge. Where are the best places to live? Do you want farm, city, the burbs, or forest? Do you want a duplex or multifamily building so that renters pay your mortgage? There are homes in all price ranges in New Hampshire, and Mark can help with financing too. Invest in Liberty and property. Mark Warden can help.
PorcupineRealEstate.com.
Free Talk Live. You can dial in toll free and join us on the radio here. Our number is 855-450-FREE. That's 855-450-3733. We've got Skype, and you can Skype in to join us here at Skype username lrn.fm. Of course, you can bring up anything you want, and you can enjoy all the features on our website for free, including our feeds. So perhaps you want to subscribe to Free Talk Live's podcast, or maybe you don't want the whole podcast because you just don't have enough time to listen to, a full 2 hours of talk content every single day. Because that's what our podcast is, basically. We take a three-hour-long radio show, cut out most of the commercials and newscasts, and boil it down to about 2 hours of pretty much solid wall-to-wall talk content. That's still a lot if all you got to do is drive to work for 15 minutes to a half hour.
Sure.
But we've got the Daily Digest as well, thanks to Riley Blake, who is a blind listener of ours, actually living in Utah, who takes the time on a daily basis to listen to the show and then chop up a 20 or 30-minute summary piece, basically, or highlights reel, if you will, of that last night's program. So if you just want to hear the highlights, you can subscribe to the Digest Only podcast. There's also an Edgington Post Only podcast, which is just your podcast that you do, Mark.
That's right.
You do mostly interviews on the Edgington Post. And then there's also the episodes only feed. So our main feed has all of that in it. It's got all those different types of things in it. But if you just want one or the other, we got special feeds just for you that you can subscribe to. Just go to feeds.freetalklive.com. You can find those there. And like everything else on our website, they're completely free. So once again, that's feeds.freetalklive.com. Let's go to the phones, to the fun. We got Fraker on the line in Atlanta. You're on Free Talk Live. Go ahead, Fraker.
Hey, guys.
Hey.
Calling in with another great, great quote. This one from Penn Jillette from his Penn Sunday School podcast.
Yeah.
Is he still doing that?
Yes, he is.
Yes. Twice a week.
Wow.
Hold on.
That's great.
It's well, only Sunday school.
Yeah. There's Wednesday Sunday school also.
All right.
That's what the Catholics do, right? Don't they have Wednesday Mass or whatever?
Yeah, but they don't call it Sunday school.
Whatever.
But his quote was, the ends can't justify the means because there are no ends.
What does that mean?
That every action has a consequence which leads to a new action, a new consequence, a new action. So there is no final state that justifies your actions to get there.
It's true.
Penn, he's a smart man. You know, he's from Greenfield, Massachusetts, which is just to the south of Keene, New Hampshire.
I didn't know that.
Yeah. It's the truth. Anyway, what else did you want to share?
That's it. Thanks.
Hey, thanks for the call, Fraker. Great quote. I appreciate hearing from you. Yeah, he was born and raised in Greenfield, and he, of course, knows about the migration, the liberty migration, this freedom migration happening
here in New
Hampshire.
He says he should be in Keene.
He did specifically say that in one of his videos. That was years ago that he said it, but presumably he hasn't forgotten about it. So maybe one of these days, if he ever retires, because he loves what he does, right? Like Penn Jillette, he's probably going to die on stage in Vegas. He's probably never going to come up here except to visit his family every now and then and maybe perform a show in Boston or something like that.
Can't you get him to come visit the show when he's in Greenfield, for goodness
no,
sake?
No, he's a hard man to get a hold of. That's one of the
guys.
He's
got to go to his show and then do the handshake thing afterwards. Yeah.
Well, I've never been to Vegas, but maybe at some point, Mark.
He came to Boston. We didn't go there then.
Did he go to Boston?
Yep.
Okay. Well, you know, we're busy too, just like he is. But anyway, yeah, sure would be great for people like Penn or Teller to move up to New Hampshire with this great...
It'd be great for them to get a hold of us and for an interview, too.
Yeah, absolutely.
Anybody who knows Penn out there.
Yeah, I've tried for years to get Penn Jillette, and you know, I haven't tried in years, but there was a while there where, like, every year I would send an email to his agent saying, yeah. Hey, we got 100 stations now. Maybe you want to, you know, talk about his new book or whatever. Nope.
Whatever.
Nope. It's just too busy.
He didn't say nope. He just didn't send anything back.
No,
right?
No. I heard back from the dude.
Oh. Yeah. Just nope. Okay.
No, it wasn't necessarily nope. It was just like, you know, blow off, basically.
Yeah.
Anyway.
What's a blow off look like? I mean,
I don't know. I'd have to go and dig up the emails, okay. Mark. It's been quite a long time since I've sent one to him. I kind of just gave up after a while.
Sure.
855-450 free like freedom. Let's go to, we got Robert in Vermont. You're on Free Talk Live. Hello, Robert.
Hi, guys. How are you?
Hey, what's on your mind tonight?
You guys were talking about the different cryptocurrencies recently here.
Yeah.
And I've got a couple of different cryptocurrencies that I've invested in.
Mm-hmm.
But one of the cryptocurrencies that I have, part of the currency is a paper wallet.
Yeah.
And when I showed this, when I was at Porkfest last week, I showed this to a few people, and they'd never seen it. And I wondered if there was something that you guys were familiar with, and
yeah,
and if you could, you know, kind of fill me, because I'm really kind of new at that part anyways.
Sure. I've never had a paper wallet myself, but I do know what they are. And as I understand it, it's a way to keep your cryptocurrency safer, as far as, like, if your wallet... For instance, if your cryptocurrency, your Bitcoin wallet or whatever, if your wallet is online, then maybe a hacker could, in theory, somehow break into your system and get into that.
Right. If it's on your computer, they could put a key logger on the computer or whatever.
Yeah. Or a backdoor or something, you know, some sort of Trojan or whatever. There are different ways to do it. But if it's a paper wallet that was generated sort of offline, meaning that you can generate it on a computer that is not connected to the internet, I think this is how it's done. Then that means that it's never touched the internet, and it's just the address that you can send your Bitcoin or whatever other cryptocurrency to, that you have this printed out QR code or string of numbers and letters or whatever that you then store in a safe place. It seems to me that the problem with the paper wallet, like, it's got good security factors to it, but the weakness is that if your house burns down and that thing wasn't in a fireproof safe, there goes your life savings.
Even if it is in a fireproof safe, then the house is burned down. The fireproof safe is sitting there in the burned down area. It's you know,
sure.
Hopefully,
and some safes are only rated to so much fire anyway.
Right. So you know, that's one of the issues. Is a paper wallet's paper, and right. It can be destroyed as a result. And
okay,
also,
sure.
If somebody gets that paper, you no longer have any control over it. Whereas
right.
If you had the private keys to a wallet, to a wallet app or whatever, stored on some fob, encrypted, then the person wouldn't have access to it. They wouldn't be able to do anything with it.
Even if they stole the key
fob. And you could
fob.
Have it on three different fobs. They could have possession of one of the fobs, and it wouldn't do them any good. You could just go get one of the other fobs, you know, go get your Bitcoin and take care of it.
Yeah.
Okie dokie. Thank you very much.
Hey, no problem, Robert. Thank you for the call tonight. I appreciate hearing from you.
But a paper wallet is simple.
Correct. And you could, in theory, print out more than one copy of it and put another copy in another physical location that you trusted. Let's say safe at your mom's house or something like that.
Yeah, then two buildings would have to burn down. And that
which is highly unlikely.
Far more unlikely, right. At least in the United States.
Let's talk to Sarah in New Mexico. Sarah, you're on Free Talk Live. Go ahead.
Yes, I just wanted to vent about this issue of, I have noticed that here in Albuquerque, the landlords, they put the mailboxes any old which way so that you could get hit by a car while checking the mail. And then I called them actually to get today.
Any old, hold on. When you say any old which way, are you saying that the mailbox points a different direction than into the street? Because most mailboxes that I've seen that are on the side of the road or, you know, on the easement, they point towards the street.
So the mail man or woman, mail delivery person,
can lean out the truck.
And put stuff in quickly and easily.
In what direction are you seeing the mailboxes being pointed?
Well, yeah, that's exactly what I have noticed. It's convenient and safe for the mail carrier. Okay. That's about
That's not any old which way. When you say any old which way, that suggests that one mailbox is pointing one direction, another mailbox is pointing a different direction, and a third might be pointing a third direction.
Fine. Now we understand what
So now we understand what you're saying.
Go ahead, Sarah.
You don't like the fact that mailboxes have been pointing into the street because you believe it is dangerous for those people who apparently are too incompetent to be able to look both ways before they step out into the road and check their own mail. If you want, hang on, Sarah. We'll allow you to explain to us why you believe this thing, this process of checking the mail is such a dangerous thing. I don't know. Maybe it's true. Maybe people do get hit all the time checking their mailboxes. I've never heard of that happening, but that doesn't mean it hasn't happened. There's more coming up here. This is Free Talk Live. Free Talk Live. You dial toll-free and join us right here. Our number is 855-450-FREE. Like freedom, that's 855-450-3733. And we've got Skype, too. Our Skype username here is lrn.fm. In the studio with you here tonight, it's Ian.
And Mark.
We're going back to the phones, back to the fun. But first, I do want to invite you to become a Free Talk Live amplifier. If you want to get behind Free Talk Live and help us spread the ideas of liberty, peace, freedom, cryptocurrency, all the cool stuff that we talk about here 7 nights a week on Free Talk Live. You want to get us on more radio stations? Well, the AMP program is the best way to help us do that. You want us to reach new internet listeners with Free Talk Live? The AMP program is the way to help us out. Go to amp.freetalklive.com. You'll get cool perks like access to the AMP-only call-in lines, the AMP-only podcast, which doesn't have the regular podcast commercials our normal podcast does, and the AMP-only Facebook group, plus the brand new AMP badge for the Free Talk Live forum that we just created a few weeks ago. So you can go to amp.freetalklive.com, that's ampamp.freetalklive.com, and sign up for just $5 a month or Bitcoin. You can use credit card, you can use PayPal, that's amp.freetalklive.com. Sarah is all of a sudden very concerned about something that has been the same way ever since I've been alive, and that is mailboxes that are on the side of the street. It was a change for me, Mark, moving to Keene, New Hampshire, because the downtown Keene area, all of the older houses, these houses that have been here for generations, they all have the walk-up on the porch mailbox where it's like mounted to the side of the house kind of mailbox, and I'd never seen that before in my life because I'm from like suburban Florida, and everybody's got a mailbox that's just on the side of the road. I mean, that's just where every mailbox is. But Sarah's saying here that she thinks that these are a real danger to people.
Well, I can tell you, Joan DeYoung Berkland probably didn't think it was too much of a danger until she was struck and killed by a pickup truck early Monday morning back in 2014. Trying to go get her mail across the road.
Okay, so it does happen, Sarah. So there you go. Mark found an example of somebody who got hit and killed because of the mailbox.
I live in an apartment complex that, you know where the driveway is, where you drive into the parking lot, where you drive in? Well, they stuck the mailboxes right on the edge of it, where you are standing in the driveway about 4 feet. 4 feet, you're standing out.
Yeah, it's very rare that I get any mail that is actually worth dying over. So, I mean, how about a solution here, Sarah, where we just abolish mail altogether? Wouldn't that be
it
nice?
It really is what the Federal Mail Service is basically
ad delivery.
A junk mail delivery service.
With the exception of the Monadnock Shopper News, which, of course, is a wonderful way of communicating.
So
Bitcoin
if you
people.
Send out a whole bunch of things, whatever the mailers are, you get a bulk discount.
That's right.
But if I send out a letter to Aunt Mildred,
you pay full price.
I pay full price. Explain to me how that isn't a subsidy for junk mail delivery.
Yeah.
Well, the thing about it is that enough of the junk mail is that I called the apartment complex. I moved out of that place, and I called them today, in fact. I told them that I would go back and live there, or I think it was a nice place. I don't even know if they heard my request because they feel that if you get hit by a car while checking your mail, it's an unimportant issue.
Well, it's not their responsibility. I mean, it's your responsibility, Sarah, to look both ways before you step into the street. I don't know if your mom or dad taught you this when you were growing up, but you know, when I was a small child.
Cruel.
No, I don't know. I mean, she, you know, she doesn't have a job or anything.
What I'm talking about
it's not like they
is
talk
that
her
when
to,
you're standing, I'm not talking about crossing the street. I'm talking about if you're standing there, they make you stand out in the driveway 4 feet.
Yeah, well, if you see a car coming and you're scared, you can run back onto the, you know, the safety of the grassy area or whatever, the sidewalk or whatever's behind it. I mean, I've never once in my life felt like I was in danger checking the mail.
Well, here's the thing. I should take a picture and send it to you or something, but there's the other one that...
You should.
When you're standing there, the cars are parking right behind you. They pull up, and if they're not, if they press 1 foot ahead, they'll hit you while you're... Have your back turned.
I saw
but that's
it
never happened to you.
Sarah, I thought of you today. I saw an article that said that New Mexico was the state that was most dependent on the federal government for
Ooh.
Subsidies. What do you think about that? Like,
she's part of that problem.
Yeah, New Mexico gets more money than any other state from the federal government.
You mean the state of or the people of?
The people of, you know, like the whole thing. All the money. The money that funnels into
that's
a place.
Right?
Yeah, so you're part of that, right,
that's
Sarah?
That's right. Well, this is a very low-income place, mm-hmm. and so a lot of the retiree and disabled people, I only get $37.35 per month, very cheap.
$37 or $3,700?
No, $735.
$735, I'm sorry, okay.
Do you think that's a good position to be in, and do you think that, I would think that some government bureaucrat would be looking, New Mexico, yep, we're going to have to cut funding to them. They're number one, like that kind of thing.
Well, the thing about it is that when you guys attack these programs, you're attacking half the population. But you're saying that we're all very bad people.
I wouldn't say that one is very bad. I would
say
if one refuses to attempt to work, that you're putting yourself in a very disadvantageous position.
Well,
that it's
number one in unemployment? You remember we were number one in unemployment for 3 months? Now Alaska beat us to a number. We're second now.
Hmm. I didn't know
that. So why are you blaming the people that can't find jobs?
I'm just reading.
Oh, they're not trying.
I'm just reading an article,
Sarah,
and I'm seeing the disadvantages that one might be in that position if one were, I don't know, a subsidy receiver in the state that receives the most subsidies.
Sarah, there's a difference between somebody who is actually looking for a job and then somebody like you who is not interested in working. Right? Like, you're not interested in getting a job. You're getting all this money from the government. You got the $730 coming in per month from, what is that, Social Security? Who's paying you that?
Well, I guess it's disability.
Disability. Mm-hmm. And then you're also getting a housing subsidy, correct? Like, so how much money is coming in for the housing?
Maybe about $450 or something.
And what is the house that you live in cost per month?
No, it's about a $700 apartment.
Okay, so you're getting the super majority of your house covered, right? Where's the money coming from to pay for the rest of the house? Is that coming out of that $700?
Yeah, right, $200.
So that leaves you with about $400 or $500 you can spend on, you know, living, right? Like buying food, that kind of thing?
Right, right.
You're sitting pretty, man. You got time to sit around and call talk radio shows all day and all night. I mean, why would you want to get a job? Then you'd have to get you'd get cut off at some point.
Look it, I have a disability, believe it or not. Just like you had a reason why you got your scholarship.
What is your disability?
Did it just give it to you for no reason?
What's your disability?
No, you qualify, right?
What is it? What's your disability?
I've been on the street for 10 years. I have been in the mental hospital.
You're not on the street, you're in a house.
I have a diagnosis.
What is the disability? Is it some sort of mental thing?
Yes, I have a mental disability. I was homeless for almost 10 years.
Was it bipolar? I know you've told us before.
I cannot work.
I know you've told us what it is before. What is it? Bipolar?
I'm bipolar, and I have OCD, and I have not worked for 30 years.
OCD, you could totally clean stuff. Come on, well, go get a janitorial job.
You never know what OCD, how it presents itself. It's difficult to say whether a person can or cannot work.
Well, if you believe you can't work, then you can't work.
You certainly can't, yeah. Right? And if you're getting enough money to survive, then it's unlikely that you will. I had a friend who was on disability. Then he decided he wasn't going to be on disability anymore. He was going to go out and get a job, and he did.
Good.
And he worked for a very long time, and I haven't been in touch with him in some time.
But you really can accomplish things that you put your mind to. If you believe that you can work, if you want to work, guess what? The universe is going to find opportunities for you. There's going to be opportunities presented to you, jobs that will fit your limited skill set that you can absolutely do. Sarah, there's plenty of people that are bipolar that hold jobs down out there, okay?
Well, you know what? I have fun calling this radio, and that's good enough volunteer work for me. You know what I mean? I don't know why you guys attack me, because we all have a different lifestyle.
I'm not trying to attack. I was just asking if you thought it was
I don't think it's a dumb show, because I call in every day.
But you don't actually listen to it. You just call it.
You
don't actually listen. You don't even know what we're talking about half the time.
Well, because I don't understand none of this stuff. I'm not into this libertarian stuff like that, what you guys talk about. A lot of people hate you guys, but it's okay. I'm willing to tolerate it.
Well, that is awfully nice of you.
I have my own lifestyle, okay?
Thank you, Sarah.
Thank you. Watch out for those mailboxes. All right, so we're done for tonight.
You just love to mess with her.
She's a leech. The woman is a great caller. I mean, she's always got something, kind of interesting to talk about. I like her calls, but she's got nothing else to do with her day except call Free Talk Live and every other show throughout the day that she happens to call, because we're not the only one. We'll see you tomorrow night online. In the meantime, freetalklive.com. Is spreading the message of liberty, cryptocurrency, and peace around the globe worth $2 per month to you? As you may already know, in addition to our internet feed, LRN.FM broadcasts on free-to-air satellite across North and Central America, as well as Sub-Saharan Africa. And we've been available on satellite for free 24/7 since 2010. The LRN.FM free-to-air satellite signal is reaching some of the most oppressive regimes in the world, and there's no doubt our ideas are making an impact. You can learn more about the channel's impact by watching the 3-minute video at fund.lrn.fm. If you'd like to help free minds globally with our ideas of liberty, cryptocurrency, and peace, you can donate as little as $2 per month via fund.lrn.fm. You can help us continue and expand our satellite broadcast to multiple continents. Visit fund.lrn.fm today, and thank you for your help. Don't forget to share the link on social media. That's fund.lrn.fm.